Good morning. Can you hear me all right? Mays, can you hear me in the back? Excellent. Good. We are set. It's my privilege to welcome you here to this worship service, both in person and online, of Fellowship Christian Reformed Church in Etobicoke. It's good to be together on this last Sunday of summer. Can you believe that? We have had amazing Sundays to worship God, and today is just another one of them. So hopefully those people who are not with us physically are enjoying such a beautiful day as well. But it is good to be here to worship God. It is good to see faces that we haven't seen for a while and to share together in this way. For those of you who are online, we will have the coffee hour after the worship service, and I will go and host that immediately after the service. So for those of you here physically, you won't see me afterwards. I'm going to join the online community. But you are welcome to go outside if you're here and to worship, to continue fellowshipping together outside the north entrance on the front lawn. And those of us online, we will fellowship together online. We begin together with a New Testament reading from the Gospel of Matthew. I will read this for you from the words of Jesus as Jesus welcomes us. But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, "We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We wailed a lament and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating or drinking, and they say, 'He is a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton, a drunkard, and a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." The words of Jesus. Thanks be to God. Let's pray, please. God of our hearts, we are here. We've made it to this moment knowing that you'd be here before us. But oh, we do come with troubled hearts, thirsty hearts. Some of us have been praying and asking why and for how much longer and asking you please to do something. So we come with aching hearts, praying for good news that will comfort us. And you, who know our hearts and hear our prayers, come, comfort us, even heal us as we seek you and worship you in this hour. If you're able to, please join us by standing as we sing this song together.
Satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver. my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. Alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
To Psalm 42. And if you've got a paper and pencil, please take that out as well. In just a moment, our worship leaders are going to read the sermon text for today, Psalm 42 and 43. Last Sunday, we paused to reflect specifically on the fact that the Lord has done great things for us. And I heard some amens coming back from over the wire. This Sunday, though, we're going to take time to process the struggles and the griefs of the past 18 months. The COVID-19 pandemic has brought unprecedented changes and terrible losses, maybe challenges that you were not prepared for. And the fact that the Lord has done great things for us does not negate the fact that we have all experienced losses over the last 18 months. These losses are real. And so is the need to express how we feel about these losses. That's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to look to Scripture to help us process what we've experienced. And from there, to help us look forward with joy and hope. Because that is what the Scriptures do for us, isn't it? So Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 were originally written as one psalm, separated at some time in the distant past for some unknown reason into two psalms. But I encourage you in your own readings, as you read through the psalms, to always read Psalm 42 and 43 together as one psalm. But we want to listen to this lament as it's read to us now. And you're going to be participating as well, whether you're online or whether you're here in the sanctuary, you're going to be participating because we're going to teach you the refrain, and then as we work through the psalm, we're going to sing that refrain together. So invite the readers to come and join us.
As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, "Where is your God?"
Praise Him, my help I remember as I pour out my soul, how I went with the strong and led them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me?
My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the thunder of your cataracts. All your waves and your billows have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life.
I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I walk about mournfully because the enemy oppresses me? As with a deadly wound in my body, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me continually, where is your God?
Down, O my soul,
and why are you disquieted with
hope in God, for I shall again praise him,
my help and my God.
Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people, from those who are deceitful and unjust. Deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you cast me off? Why must I walk about mournfully because of the oppression of the enemy?
Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God.
Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God.
Thank you, worship leaders. Will you pray with me, please? Our dear God, we thank you for this text, which has been so meaningful to so many people for so long. We thank you that for the opportunity to open now, and we ask that you, Lord, would teach us in your ways from this text this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Because this picture we have from the opening verse of Psalm 42 is surely one of the most beloved verses of Scripture, isn't it? The verse was very much on my mind as I shot that video of the deer in the Credit River back in June. I experienced that moment with the deer as a gift from God, a tangible expression of his presence with me at that moment. And the well-known song that we sang, As the Deer, reflects that serene scene as in the video. And yet we know that such happy sentiments were hardly on the psalmist's mind when he wrote these words. It would be more apt to preface that video with an hour of walking through the desert or up a dusty, dry road, because the picture in the psalm is of one who is desperately thirsty. The picture is exactly that as in another psalm, Psalm 63, which opens, O God, you are my God, and I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. That's the picture in Psalm 42, not of a deer in an Ontario forest, but of a deer in a desert in dry season. The psalmist says descriptively that he is filled with tears and sadness has killed his normal appetite. He can still remember times of joy, which for him was defined as gathering for worship and festival. But those times are only distant memories now. Now he is cut off from worship and from festival. His soul, the essence of his emotional and spiritual being, is cast down, he says. In today's language, we would say, as do some modern English translations, that he is depressed. The New English Translation, for example, renders verse 5, Why are you depressed, O my soul? And the answer comes back in verse 6, But I am depressed. This is a very real picture in this psalm of a person in the grip of depression, where he is left only with his memories of the past and his anxieties of the present. And his standard remedies, which he says are singing and praying in the night, have thus far failed to lift his spirits, to bring him out of his depression. The psalmist here has a threefold complaint. First, he complains that he's cut off from worship. Perhaps he's in a foreign land, or perhaps they're living under a foreign oppressor in occupation. Or maybe they're living in a global pandemic, who knows? But the hope expressed in this psalm is for a return to be with his worshiping community. And his question is, when? When will this happen? Secondly, he's maligned by his enemy, literally, likely that enemy who's keeping him from his worshiping community. The enemy is saying, I told you so, and tell me, where is your God anyway? And he receives this like a deadly wound to his soul. He feels that in suffering these insults, he's been cut off by God, and that's his third complaint. In verse 6, he uses a powerful image, that of waterfalls. Now, I've spent many wonderful hours pursuing waterfalls, trying to get to the base where the power is, just to sit alongside the power and the majesty of that water. Here in verse 6 we read, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon. This is a reference to the headwaters of the Jordan River, where the snow on Mount Hermon seeps into that limestone porous mountain and comes out in many springs along the side of Mount Hermon. Powerful springs, and they cascade down the mountainside in cataracts. He uses the phrase deep, calling to deep, likely a reference to the sound of that falling water, the beautiful sound of it, and to the source of the springs themselves as they communicate through majestic sound. So that's the beautiful image, but then he flips that image and he says that this beautiful, inspiring, majestic water has overwhelmed him. He's no longer admiring the powerful water. Now he's buffeted by it. It's as if we had gone down to Niagara Falls and gone on that adventure where you can go next to the falls. They call it Journey Behind Niagara Falls. But now we're no longer looking at the water. were in the swirling water. And then, surprisingly, we get to verse 8, and he says, "By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life." The psalmist knows that God is still God and still in the picture, and there are those reminders that come by means of songs in our head. Even when it's hard to pray, we might still hear the songs. But this knowledge that he expresses here in verse 8, that God is with him, and yet he's going through this swirl of being in deep, dangerous water, that creates the tension which fills this psalm and fills this image. It's a tension that every person of faith can relate to at some point in their life. Yes, God is present. God is present in strength, but in my present situation, that presence of God is contradicted right now. Right now, I feel rejected by the one who's supposed to be my refuge, to use the words of chapter 43 and verse 2. And we, along with the psalmist, at such times are left with the question, why? Why, God? And the important thing to note in this beautiful psalm is the writer does not hold back from his questions. He expresses them freely. Where is God right now? Why am I going through this? When can I be with God again the way we used to be together? And how? How am I going to get through this time? Laments, like this one, invite us to be honest. Laments give voice to our despair. And in doing so, laments point us back to God. They're not mere complaints voiced to the air to no one in particular. No, they're clearly and deliberately directed to the one who can help us. Laments, like Psalm 42 and 43, understand that there are things in the world worth crying about. There are some very lamentable situations in the world, and they affect normal people like you and me. This pandemic has been, for 18 months, a lamentable situation which has affected you and me greatly. Perhaps you paused at time through the pandemic and grieved. If so, you're healthier for having done so. But I'm going to guess that most of us have not done so. We've not paused and grieved the situation. Most of us have soldiered on or put off our grieving till after the pandemic or told ourselves, well, other people have it worse. Yet there is a very real reason to lament in our own congregation as well. During this pandemic, we in this church have lost beloved members. This is a great sadness. Many of you have lost brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers and nieces and nephews and friends, often without even being able to go say goodbye to them or even attend their funeral. And that is not fair. Many of you have suffered through chronic sickness and pain, made worse by the inability to get out. Others have suffered with COVID-19. This is worrisome. Many have lost means of livelihood or jobs or other income. This produces real anxiety. And all of us have experienced loss of relationships, relationships that we thought at one time were secure. And this is plain old depressing. And you, there probably, as you think about it, other losses that you have identified as well during the 18 months of this pandemic. Like the psalmist, we have been cut off from the community of faith. Some of you have been very cut off and isolated, and we feel for you. Like the psalmist, we have been asking for some time, when can we return and sing glad songs with our Christian family? And others have asked, what is God up to in this pandemic? Why is he keeping not just us apart, but global church apart? Where is God in this pandemic? And then there are the big societal questions which have arisen during this pandemic. Cries for racial justice, discoveries of mass graves, mass shootings, hate speech and hate violence, deep divisions between family members over politics and face masks and vaccines. Well, we want to give you an opportunity now to voice your lament. Now, it would be hard to do vocally in a setting, a hybrid worship setting like we have now, so I'm going to ask you to take a pen and a paper, or your phone if you like to type digitally, and I'm going to ask you, at least in bullet form, to write a lament. And for this, I'm following an outline suggested by John Wivlett in Reformed Worship magazine. And you can add as few or as many words as you like. So our lament begins with an invocation, a confession that even in times of crisis, we approach an accessible God. Our lament freely addresses this personal God through the gallery of image used in the psalm. So, for example, if you're having trouble thinking of an image, use Psalm 42, verse 1. So take a moment now, a moment of silence, and write the beginning of your invocation, your call to God, to begin your lament. And I would say to those of you who are not feeling like a lament right now, you could write it for someone else, someone that you know and are empathetic for. Or take the time simply to pray for those that you know are grieving right now because of the pandemic. Please take a moment and do that now, and I will join you. Okay, let's go to slide 2, please. Our prayer continues. Our prayer continues with a clear description of our situation, as in Psalm 42, verses 3 and 4. Take a moment now and note your present situation. You can use bullet form if you want, but the important thing is don't sugarcoat it. How are you right now? How is it with your soul? Next slide, please. Now we get to the core of the lament. Our prayer continues with a bold lament. We bring our most intense theological questions right into the sanctuary of God, the whys, the wheres, the whens, and the hows, using bold and direct and honest speech, and make good use of question marks and exclamation points as you write. And if you need prompters, you can look at Psalm 42, verses 7, 9, 10, 43, verse 2. So write down the question that you would like to ask God, or use the words from the psalm for your lament. Okay, let's move forward. We'll return to that in just a moment. My question is, how does the psalmist turn to God in its time of trouble? What can we learn from this psalm which will help us in our time of lament or grief or need of comfort? Well, first, the psalmist lays out his specific request. He's not afraid to ask exactly what he needs and desires for his situation. The Old Testament scholar Klaus Westermann wrote, "There's not a single psalm of lament that stops with lamentation. Lamentation has no meaning in and of itself. The lament appeals to the one who can remove suffering." So what are the psalmist's requests here? In 43 verse 1, he says, he needs justice from his enemies. Vindicate me, O God, he says, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. Secondly, in verse 43, verse 3, he says, he needs divine guidance. Send your light and your truth. Let them lead me. And by truth, he does not mean here doctrinal truth, but God's faithfulness, as we've experienced previous weeks in previous Psalms. He's asking for a faithful, experienced guide to lead him out of darkness. Secondly, he leaves vindication to God, not giving way to sin against his enemies. He remembers that vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And importantly, he waits for God. He's not just hoping in God, but he's waiting for God. He says that when God's light and truth do come, then indeed he will be returned to a place of worship, that place for which he longs. But in the meantime, he waits. In fact, the New English Bible translates the refrain of this song, the one we sung, not as hope in God, but wait for God. And they explain it this way. The translation, wait for God, invites more consideration of the possible emotional state of the psalmist. The nuance may be to hope against hope or get it out in faith despite not feeling hopeful at all. And so in doing so, the psalmist places his hope squarely in God while he waits for him. Three times he has the same self-talk addressing his soul. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? And three times the solution is offered. Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. But notice how it builds over as the psalm progresses. After the first stanza, the words of the refrain sound something like he's been taught, but is only repeating now by rote. For as soon as he says it that first time, he's forced to confess, my soul is cast down within me. I really am depressed. After the second verse, the second refrain, he's begun his lament, the words of his lament, and he's now ready to present his petition. And so when we get to the end of the psalm, after the third stanza in 43 verse 5, we really do sense that he is hopeful, that he has peace and confidence, which has been restored. And he really believes that God is there leading him out of his situation. And he looks to God to save him in his situation. Our translation, as we read it, reads, my help and my God. But help may not be strong enough. Literally, the phrase says, he is awaiting the saving acts of the presence of my God. And this is a decision of faith, isn't it? For his situation is one in which he continues to feel cut off from God and from God's presence, at least the way he's known it in gathered worship. And yet he chooses to believe. And his confidence is that he again will be able to worship God with his congregation. This confidence grows with his hope, and he's able to say, I will go to the altar of God, to God my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Well, psalms like this one have endured the test of time for several reasons. First, they give words to common situations which have been undergone by people of antiquity and people today and every generation in between. Second, they provide us with clear, strong language with which to have a hard conversation with God, and so become an invitation for us to do just that. Have a hard conversation with God. And third, because history has shown us that God has acted. He acted then, he's acted today, and he will act in the future for the saving, for the preservation, and for the keeping of his people. Now perhaps we have it easier than the people of Israel, for we know that God has pre-provided this saving, this salvation in the person of Jesus Christ, the Savior. And so we have a confidence that goes beyond the grave, a great and personal comfort in life and in death because of the one who has defeated death on our behalf. But in the meantime, life happens, doesn't it? And when it does, God wants you to pour out your petitions to Him. Pour out your laments. Yes, but do not stop there. That would just be a complaint. Pour out your petitions as well. So let's do that now. Take your piece of paper and let's continue our written laments and let's add our specific requests. What is it that your lament over your situation causes you to ask of God right now? Write it down. God is inviting our direct speech. God is inviting our direct requests. God wants us to address Him as God. He can handle what we have to say. There's a big difference in saying, I hope to not be lonely anymore, and to say, God, please heal my relationship with my sister so that we can be together again. So write your specific requests now. And finally, slide 5. We return, as the psalmist does, to hope. And not hope for hope's sake, but hope for God's sake. Resolve, then, to put your hope in God. Wait for God in confidence and trust. As John Wivlett says, our prayer ends with expressions of confidence and trust, however muted they may be by our present situation. Write down, then, how you will keep trusting Him until what seems like the end. Write that statement of confidence in how you envision the situation to end. Well, I thank you for participating with me and with all of us in this. I hope that it has been a good experience for you, and perhaps it is something you will want to return to later in the day or tomorrow morning and reflect on what you have been able to express to God and what God has expressed to you during this time. It's a beautiful psalm which gives us language of lament, language of question and petition, but also language of hope and of praise. So my prayer for you in conclusion is that the chorus that we learned this morning, hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my help and my God, that will be a song which is with you even in the night and become for you a prayer to the God of your life. And so may God hear your lament and come to your aid. By way of response, Herman will now lead us in congregational prayer.
Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, we come to you this morning, many of us with very mixed feelings. We come to you, the God of grace and mercy, and we want to come as real people, people of flesh and blood. Lord, your people have always had their fears and uncertainties, and we want to come to you in humility and with honesty, naming our own, especially in this strange time called the pandemic. Lord, sometimes we feared for the future, our own, our children's and grandchildren's, great-grandchildren. What is coming next, we often wondered. We look back on more than a year and a half of challenges, of inability to come together as we once did to worship you, inability to celebrate weddings together or to mourn the loss of dear ones, inability to visit those who were hospitalized, missing people at work as we were forced to work from home, inability to have in person, close as a hug, togetherness as family and family of God. That hurts, Lord. And we have all experienced it. That and the many questions like, will this pandemic ever end? Will there be other variants? What will happen and what is happening to my work? Will this divide people? Will our society become uglier? What about frontline workers? How long will they be able to cope? And what does all this do to healthcare, aging, chronic illness, people in the third world, and on and on? We confess and lament our helplessness, our inability, powerlessness in the face of all that. And each of us can name, as we did this morning, our own struggles, fears, and hopes. And so we send our prayers up to you, Lord. Lord, hear our voice. And may we be attentive to yours. For we are yours. And you alone can both clearly hear the voice of our hearts and answer our deepest needs. And then, Lord, may we hear you together with the psalmist as we approach your altar and see the sacrifice for sin and find our hope and certainty and praise in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, your Son. The one who said, don't be afraid, little ones. I am with you. In your helplessness, I am your helper. In your uncertainties, I am the rock that will not move. In your trials and tribulations in this real world, you may hear my beckoning voice. Come unto me, all you who are tired and loaded down with cares. I will give you rest. Yes, thank you, Lord, for the peace and even the joy that you pour into our hearts when we most need it. We love you, Father, for bringing light into darkness. We love you, Jesus, for walking with us each day. Light of the world, we praise your name. We love you, Holy Spirit, for uniting us to our Lord and to one another in an unbreakable bond in spite of any pandemic. All praise and glory be to you, faithful one, covenant-keeping, triune God. Go with us in coming days and grant us your peace. Amen.
My help comes.
Every week as part of our worship, we take up two offerings. We're not physically taking up an offering today, but if you have an offering with you, you can leave it with Jane at the back. But we do encourage you to continue your online donations. This is actually a very big help to the church at this time, if you're able to donate online. Our first offering is for the ongoing work of this church, and our second is for a special cause each week. Our cause this week is Shalem Mental Health Network. They are a counseling center located in Hamilton, but with counseling services all over Southern Ontario. And it's a group that we have partnered with successfully in the past for many important, not just counseling, but sessions that we've shared with the community. So we would ask you to remember them as you give today. I would like to leave you with a blessing. After that, we will have a song. And after that, if you are online, I would remind you that the coffee hour is on Zoom this morning. If you don't have the Zoom link, you can send me an email. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen.
Stay.